Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
New Year, BL.
Happy New Year, Jinxie. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's exciting to be back. It's always such a like a nice thing. Like, I'm not really working at all this week, this first week of the year. And I had Just See also essentially in the diary. But it didn't feel like work.
This is our job now, babe. We're clocking in.
We're clocking in, exactly.
Clocking in for Q1.
Yeah, it's Q. Welcome to Q1, everybody.
I've thought about the Qs a little too much this year, I'm ashamed to say. How are you, Jinxie? How was your Chrissy?
My Chrissy was really cute and sweet. It was, well, actually, before we even get to that stuff, there are things that we haven't even talked about that happened pre-Christmas.
Oh my God, you're right. We did so much pre-recording for the Patreon.
Yeah, that we have like a little bit of limbo period.
We really did.
I mean, we got to discuss the Caroline Polachek show.
Oh my God, my friend Caroline.
Your friend Caroline. Mm. And I sadly did not get to go to the talk you did with her. How was it?
It was so good.
Yeah, was she a dream?
She was a dream. She was, I mean, it's not a surprise to anyone who's like engaged with her music or her like interviews or anything that she's like, she's so composed and she's so thoughtful and like her kind of approach to her work is so fucking tight and cool and specific, but being able to just like ask her to like say more about that for an hour in front of an audience who were like just as obsessed with her was like such a dream. We did a little gossing in the green room before. She was kind of hyping me up on stage before we went out, which was so cute. I mentioned I hadn't taken beta blockers. And so she was like, I'll be your beta blocker.
Love it.
Listened to like the kind of host read out my bio before we went on stage. And she was like, yeah, woo. It was really cute and like dorky and like very special.
Oh, that's great. And I'm guessing she was pretty generous with her answers.
Oh my God. Yeah. She really leaned into like the nature of the event, which was like talk about your songwriting for an hour, and didn't rush anything, really like was game to kind of follow my little trains of thought. Yeah. And was like funny and cool and hot and amazing. Yeah. It was so great. It's going to be out. One of your also's from ages ago, Jinxie, the RN Conversations podcast actually recorded it.
And we'll Big Ideas.
Big Ideas. So they're going to be releasing like the recording.
Awesome.
Yeah. So people can listen back.
That is so good to know.
Although the Caro fan pages on Instagram have, someone did record a bootleg of the talk and it is online and the fans have been circulating it. So
naughty.
It's already out if you wanted a dodgy version of it.
Wow, you've been bootlegged. Yeah. How do you feel?
I feel like the Grateful Dead. I feel grateful and dead. But you went to the and I went to the show after that. You went to the show on the second night, right?
Yeah, I went to the second night. It was really, fucking really good.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Penny Drop.
Truly.
Wow. Yeah, it was an excellent show. And you know what? It was one of those shows that I almost didn't go to because it was like the end of the year and I was...
A Monday night.
Yeah, and I was tired and fuck, so glad that I did make the effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It was like, I know I said it like several times last year about like Carly Rae Jepsen and Fontaine's DC and a few other shows last year where all at the Forum, coincidentally, I was like gig of top 10 gig of my life. But like Caroline Polachek was like top 5 gig of my life.
Yeah. It was an excellent show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a listener came up to me and introduced herself to me when I was picking up my tickets and that was really sweet. But I think I was like... shocked by it because I was just like rushing into this show. Anyway, it was very sweet.
I also met a listener after the concert, so which is grateful. I'm glad she didn't introduce herself earlier because I would have then been self-conscious about my dancing the whole show. But she was like, I'm the person who recommended you listen to Celebrity Memoir Book Club or Celebrity Book Club, and I was like, I'm grateful to you, girl.
Yeah, you should be
grateful to that chica.
The other show that I can remember that I loved just as much was the Pavement show at the Palais right at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Like it was just, they were in such good form. I had such a good time. I ended up having to go by myself. And like you dancing at Caroline Polachek, I could be as like unfiltered, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like I was just a nerdy little fan.
Yeah.
By myself drinking like a large rosé in like the third row.
Moshing to Pavement.
It was really cute.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest pre-Christmas thing that happened in our lives was the Patreon. Not to be a dork, but it was.
Yeah. It was really exciting to finally launch it. It's something that we have talked about launching for so long.
So long.
We've made so many plans about it and then felt like...
So many lists of things we would offer people and then we were like, can we do this?
Is that legal? And then we felt like self-conscious about it and... Because like just to be clear, it's not like... The podcast is not replacing our job. Like we're not full-time podcasters, it's more like it takes so much time and weird amounts of money.
Really weird... Sometimes ongoing and sometimes one-off amounts of money to like get an audio file to people every week. It's, yeah, it's really silly when you think about it.
It really is. Yeah. Like the original outlay and all that stuff. Anyway. But I'm having such a good time with it and the posts that we can do over there. And I just want to say thank you so much to all the people who did sign up in the last couple of weeks to the Hog Hive over on Patreon. I hope that you have enjoyed the first 3 episodes that we have completely locked up over there. 2 normal episodes from the last 2 weeks and then a bonus episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had one on like our dreamy weekend itineraries. I did Sydney, BLU did Melbourne, and then we did a best of films, TV, books from last year. And then we did a special When Harry Met Sally, New Year's Eve, Poodle. But yeah, like we've got some exciting things coming up and yeah, thanks. Yes.
Some bonus episodes already plotted out for the next few months.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's so cute. And like our ambitions for it were quite modest. Like we were by no means being like, we're going to pay our rent with Patreon because that'd be tough. But yeah, we've already kind of like gone above and beyond our expectations in the first month. And so that's been just like very validating and we're a bit chuffed.
Yeah. So thank you. We truly appreciate it. What else happened just before Christmas? I started my newsletter again.
Oh my God, that's right. Abracadabra.
Yeah, it's called Abracadabra Department. It's on Substack. I started it many years ago and then kind of abandoned it at some point because it had the same sort of flow to our podcast, but like pre-podcast. And then the podcast kind of took over and... Now I'm like trying so hard to get back into writing regularly. So please follow me on Substack at Abracadabra Department because that will actually keep me writing this year. It's free.
And that's one of your Q1 to Q4 goals, right?
It sure is, which we will get to. I think we've got a whole Q1 section of today's show. And what else? I had a little holiday cocktail party.
You sure did, baby.
It's become like an annual event. This was the second installment, BL. You brought the hit of the night, some extremely good espresso martinis.
I'm really glad that they went down a treat because I'll be honest, Jinxie, you know behind the scenes of my frantic budgeting and the freelance crawl to the finish line of 2023. And I was like, God, I can't contribute in the outrageous, expensive way I normally like to for parties. But what I could do was make a big batch of espresso martinis. And I'm really glad that everyone enjoyed them.
Oh, everyone really enjoyed them.
I did. It really confirmed to me that shaking a cocktail does something because I batched that up at home and I tasted it in the big jug that I brought it to your house in. And I was like, it's a bit alcohol-y. And then I brought them regardless and we shook them up and they were fucking perfect.
Lo and behold.
Yeah.
A delight.
I also made Japanese slippers for my New Year's Eve party and the same thing there. Like lemon juice, Midori and Cointreau. Bleh. Shake it up with a little cocktail cherry. Perfect.
Yeah, my God. A Japanese slipper, an orgasm. Your cocktail repertoire is going to unexpected places, VL.
Yeah. Is it any wonder that I wake up the next morning and feel like I've been stomped on by like a hippo?
What did you do for Christmas? You went up north.
Yeah, I went to Brizzy. I spent Christmas with my sister, who's an avid listener of the podcast, so she'll be listening to this. We hosted our extended family, like the family who our whole childhoods would always host us, which was kind of a bit of a milestone. The tables have truly turned, and we are sitting around them on eskies because we forgot to get enough chairs.
Sounds great.
Yeah. How was your Chrissy in Sydney?
Yeah, it was cute. We went to Sydney to have Christmas at my sister's place, which is always such a delight. It's just always a really beautiful spread and like very relaxed. Dear friends always spend Christmas with us. So it's like family and chosen family.
Love that. Very 20th century women.
Yeah, very 20th century women. But yeah, it was just like really nice. So nice. And then went to Woolgoolga to spend second Christmas with my girlfriend's family, which is relaxed, lovely.
Love.
Yeah. Did like not do very much while I was in Whoopi, as yeah. they call it. And just did like jigsaws.
Oh my God, you've become me.
Yeah, it was good. Because I was like, I'm not doing this at home. So I need to get this out of my system.
Sure.
It was good.
I did a lot of, I'm the same. I did a lot of reading. I finally read Crying in H Mart. And, Memorial by Brian Ward. It was a real like pull books off my bookshelf that I've ignored for many years.
Yeah.
And just smashed through them on the planes and driving around while my niece was sleeping in the car. It was gorge. Is this so boring for people to listen to? Me just being like, I drove around.
Well, one of the big highlights for me when I was in Sydney just around Christmas time was seeing my friend Rosie, my very dear friend Rosie, who has been up in Sydney for a couple of weeks and is returning to Melbourne next week. And I cannot wait, but it was so nice to be able to finally go and see her again and see her. And it was really lovely.
Gorge. Top Chef will be so excited. Rosie's home.
Oh my God. Yeah. And New Year's. How's your New Year's? You did like a lobster boil?
Sure did. My friend Anton, my lifelong bestie, we had plans to go to like, I don't know, a French, we wanted to go to Francois or like Paris Ago or something. And then he was like, why don't I host at my house? And it was just going to be the two of us. Then it was going to be three people. I think we ended up feeding about 18 people.
Great.
Which is always the way, but it was really gorge, like a real assemblage of new and old friends, people I didn't know, people I like have never spent a New Year's with before. And like New Year's is such a weird night. I mean, I'm not saying anything new, but like, I feel like if you go to like a big thing, there's a lot of pressure on it to be like a fun night, capital F, capital N. And if you have a low key one, there's always that thought of like, oh, could I have had a big fun night tonight?
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel the same, but it was kind of like there was nothing else I wanted to be doing. I didn't want to be going anywhere else. Like there was no other party or other option that seemed more fun than like cracking the backs of like four lobsters. Mm-hmm. And I made like perfect seafood sauce to dip the like prawn cocktails in, and we had lots of oysters. We did a Preston Market shop the night before, and Anton and his brother are just like consummate hosts. So yeah, my Japanese slippers went down a treat, babe. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, I don't know the last time I drank anything with Midori in it.
I'd never had a Japanese slipper. I just wanted to design a cocktail around the cherries.
Yeah, well, I have something coming up.
It's very Christmassy, Jinxie.
Look, I'm afraid I have you beat on the Christmas cocktail, and it's coming up at the end of the episode.
Okay, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to rim all the glasses with Pop Rocks, and then I had the thought of being a bit naughty and just like putting Pop Rocks in people's drinks unsuspectingly. So there were like fireworks going off all night in our mouths.
Did you do it?
It got to about 2 a.m. and I was like, oh my God, I forgot the Pop Rocks.
That's such a 2 a.m. Yeah. Such a 2 a.m. thought, isn't it?
As we were sitting around being like, what did you do this year that you were proud of? What do you want to do in 2024?
Yeah, I just had a couple of very dear friends over to our house for New Year's Eve, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
But we did not get into the like, how is your year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like that side of things.
Oh my God. And just a real housewives move to sit around a table and be like, let's play a game. Everyone go around and say who you hate.
Whose husband will you fuck?
Yeah. Fuck, marry, kill the people closest to us.
Well, it was all couples too at my party. So
yeah, it was. You should have played fuck, marry, kill. No one wants to be killed. Everyone wants to be fucked, but no one will say it. Yours would have been great too, because it was like queer couples, like two queer couples and a straight couple.
Totally.
Fuck, marry, kill would be really fun with them.
Yeah, actually would have been.
Yeah.
Next time. Shout out to Top Chef. He had some really good looks.
Oh, Christmas, my God.
And New Year. So.
Style icon, Top Chef the poodle.
Yeah, Christmas he wore the closest approximation to what Rindy, Carol's daughter, wears in Carol.
It's been mentioned on the podcast a few times, and I'm really glad I got to see it.
And
finally.
Of course, he pulled out his little can tux for New Year's Eve, as he likes to do.
Well, he wore that last year. I saw him on New Year's Eve, and I was like,
repeated.
I was like, Top Chef, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
What else? I did another little annual tradition this year, which is the Saturday Paper Quiz.
Oh my God.
Season finale.
Are you the most consistent guest on that? On that annual quiz. Oh, you and Dave.
Me and Dave Lawson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been there every year.
Yeah, BL, you did it last year.
I was your partner last year.
So this year it was me, Zoe, Dave, and Sarah Snook usually does it, Dave's partner, but Ryan Shelton did it instead. And it was such a fun time.
I listened to it and it was very – I heard the moments when – the three of you started to get really competitive,
mm-hmm.
and Ryan having to be like, this is just fun, guys. We're just having fun.
Yeah, it did get really competitive. Anyway, it's always fun and I think a fun listen. So we'll link that in the show notes.
Very
as
fun
well.
Listen. There was some pop culture, like pop music stuff, maybe, that I was like, God, I would have fucking killed this one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But your actual partner, I guess, is allowed to be your partner on the podcast again.
Well, yeah, she was the returning. She was returning.
I was just your ring-in last year.
No, it was really fun anyway.
I was honored to be your ring-in.
Ring-in in the new year.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Speaking of ringing in the new year, we've got another live show, Jinxie. We're kicking off 2024.
It's so soon.
It's like a month from today when we're recording.
Oh my God, it is.
It's also, I need to be clear with the listeners, it's my birthday party. My birthday party is see also at the Malthouse Outdoor Stage.
And you are invited.
You're
and tickets
invited.
Are on sale.
Watch me have a meltdown about having just turned 34.
Yeah, and me bully her about only just turning 34 when I'm turning 44 this year.
It's going to be perfect.
It will be so fun. It's so it's happening Saturday, 3rd of February at the Malthouse Outdoor Stage in the city. It's called See Also Al Fresco because we will be outside drinking cocktails, and so will you.
So will you, I hope, because we're going to hang out and I'm going to make everyone cheers to me.
And we have some fucking fabulous guests.
Oh, God, I'm so excited. Stella Mozgawa from Warpaint and from supporting Romy on her national tour this week in Australia, and Courtney Barnett, who I'm just going to say it, it's a teaser. They've just experienced a very gripping TV, reality TV journey that I'm going to force them to repeat for everyone on mic at the live show. But yeah, they're obviously like complete icons.
And icons.
We're so excited.
Yeah, we are very, very excited. So tickets are now available from the Malt House website. We'll link it in the show notes. It's on Instagram. And listeners can use the code CALSOALFRESCO, one word, all lowercase, CALSOALFRESCO, for a discount ticket.
Yeah, and all those details will be in the show notes if you forget. But yeah, we would love to see you. Please come to my birthday party.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
All right, Jinxie, we spent like 9 months last year talking about our goals for 2023. So I feel like we need to like get it out of the way today.
All right, let's do it.
Where are you at? Where's your Q1 plan? Do you have a planner? Do you have a checklist? Do you have a imaginary, just like mental list of things that you're doing this year?
I have been a little lax with my planning this year because I'm trying hard to give myself a bit of a break.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Just because I know that as soon as work really starts up next week, then it's just all on for the next year.
Yeah.
So then, of course, you do have to plan and plan that, blah, 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 blah. But have been doing some like major kind of planning by myself and with my partner about, you know, finance, budgets, blah, blah, blah. But
real like, sexy stuff.
So sexy. But I don't know, like, you know, I have like goals for myself. I mean, that's part of the reason why I've started doing Abracadabra Department newsletter again. But yeah, I'm really just focusing on writing and it's so boring, but fitness.
How boring is focusing on fitness? I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's dull.
My Apple Watch broke on Christmas Day, and you know how much of a tracker
I am.
And it's
You're
really
a bloodhound for that stuff.
I fucking love having data on myself. The end of last year, I was like, it took on average, I finished a book in 4.6 days, but I only anyway, my Apple Watch broke, and it tracked my steps and my workouts and blah blah blah. But I was kind of, I'm not going to say I was obsessive about it, but I would kind of, you know, I'd be in the pool about to do a swim because I just wanted to, and I wanted to wash my hair that day. But I would not start until I had like the thing queued up on my Apple Watch, or like same with Pilates. If I was 10 minutes into a Pilates class, I'd be like, oh fuck, I didn't track that I'm doing a Pilates workout. But I know I'm doing a Pilates workout.
Yeah, that should be enough.
Yeah. And I had a friend last year be like, why do you need your watch to tell you that you've done this stuff? And I was like, I don't have a good answer for that. And so now I'm trying to like just kind of build that into my routine more than like kind of dataifying it and like spreadsheeting that stuff.
Is it just because you like the cumulative effect of it? Like you love to see the data piling up, like, you know, you do 3 hours or like, I don't know, you do an hour of fitness 3 times a week or something. Mm. And then like at the end of the month, you're like, I did X amount. Mm. Is that it?
Maybe, but I think there's also something, and this is, I'm sorry, a more deep or like kind of revealing answer maybe, but like I think because I've always, I don't look like someone who works out, like people don't look at me and go, she swims and does Pilates and is focusing on her fitness goals because I'm like a big person. I think I need it as like proof to myself or something.
Yeah, sure.
Or if I were to ever like show, like there was, you know, when I first did my like manic spreadsheeting in 2022, I would kind of do a little recap at the end of every month and post it on TikTok. And I think that was also like a like having a public record mm-hmm. of what I was doing, maybe that skewed it a little bit for me, where I felt like I needed to be really kind of militant about it. And so now I'm like, you know, I'm starting, or I'm like going to try to start lifting at the gym, which I've never done before. And, like just really on my like strength and mobility this year, cause I just don't want to get injured and want to be able to lift shit up. But I'm also going to start playing tennis.
Same.
Next week I've booked a court.
Great.
Yeah. Oh my God, we should do doubles. I'm going to say my friend Anton and I are playing tennis together. And one of the big appeals is that we want to have like little sandwiches and Pimm's cups afterwards.
So, I mean, that's cute. It's a cute time.
Yeah. So there might be a lot involved in like going to play tennis and not a whole lot of tennis playing, but we'll see.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Start slow.
Yeah. Also boring. I'm trying to eat more protein. Oh my God. The end. I'm not saying more about it. So boring. Turns out it's good for you and makes you feel good. Anyway, keep going.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How dull.
Yeah. As a mostly vegan, important.
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally. Where do you get your protein from?
Like lentils, tofu, etc.
Ah,
chickpeas.
Okay. This is good for me to know because all anyone ever tells you is like meat. Oh my God. I'm so sorry that we're talking about protein on the podcast. Maybe. Sorry.
What else? I'm thinking more about spending this year again.
God, same.
Like last year I did talk about this a lot on the podcast of polls, but you know, like ethical shopping and like really looking at what you're buying and where it's being made and who it's being made by, is the money going to. And I really love that there are so many labels in Australia, particularly in Melbourne, that have like very transparent ways of working and manufacturing, particularly like HB Archive, Caves Collect, Koto, like they're all really good about mm-hmm. where everything comes from and blah, blah, blah. And so I really will always keep supporting those labels. And yeah, so I'm just thinking about that. I'm just making sure it's like front of mind mm-hmm. and also working out like there's not a lot I need to buy.
True.
But I can still pick up a little fun, some fancy items. Like, do you know what? Like it was New Year's Eve and I was suddenly panicked because I did not have an outfit planned for New Year's Eve. I just have to pull something out of my own wardrobe. But it was like a weird night in Melbourne. So it was like actually really cold.
It was cold. I wasn't prepared.
No. And so what I had thought I would wear. Anyway, I ended up pulling out.
What was it?
It was this black velvet Margiela long sleeve top. Ooh. With like pearls built into it. It's like a pearl necklace and then like a pearl belt attached to the back.
Chic.
Yeah, that I should not have bought years ago, but we were shopping. I was shopping with our friend Emily and of course ended up
she wouldn't
leaving
let you leave
the
it
shop up. With it, right? If anyone's ever been shopping with Emily, you know. Anyway, so I'm like, it's okay to buy these like crazy things every so often. It's fun.
Yeah. Spending has been on my mind too because like freelance stuff has just been so up and like a real roller coaster lately. And I think because I was forced into like being really careful with my money the last few months, I've now found shopping quite boring. Like I'm not getting the same thrill as I used to from like
not getting that hit.
Yeah. It's not scratching the itch anymore, which is good, but it really makes me realize how much mindless spending I have done over the last few. It was really like my lifeline during COVID. I was very lucky to work more than ever during COVID. And partly panicking that it was all going to be taken away at any moment. But like my thrill was the deliveries every day. And
yeah.
I'm now making all these connections between like I'm starting to feel really calm when I see that my like skincare cabinet isn't bursting at the seams and it just has the stuff that I need to use, you know, like I've pared back and I'm not just mindlessly buying stuff because I want to try it. And, you know, I'm connecting more, I think, to like, you know, I've canceled some subscriptions cause I'm like, I don't need to watch everything. I don't need to like consume everything.
Nobody
and
does.
It's good for me to not be in front of the TV all the time and doing other things instead. And maybe this is just 3rd of January, me talking. And by like mid June, I'll just be on the couch all day. But, I'm thinking about like the connection between the stuff that I own now and money as well. Like the cost of having to store all my possessions, having to have an apartment the size that I do, having the amount of clothes that I have, and just like always purging. I'm always getting rid of stuff. I'm always hoping to have a market stall to like sell stuff and be cleansed of it, only to start accumulating again.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like low-key hoarding.
Yeah. I've lived in this apartment, it'll be 3 years in May, and there hasn't been one time that I haven't had at least a small pile of stuff I'm in the process of getting rid of.
I can attest. I always see it. Yeah. Yes. It's true, but I'm the same.
Yeah.
And like, that's actually one of my things for this week is I'm going to go through my wardrobe for like the umpteenth time and take some things out that I'm no longer working well for me, you know?
If I can recommend my most recent cleanse, I got rid of more stuff than ever because I actually tried everything on.
Oh.
Which usually I just skipped past the stuff I knew I wanted to keep and had made it through every purge. But I actually took it out and put it on my body with a bra on, with tights on, if it was a short dress or whatever, the way that I would normally wear it. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, this is why I never wear this thing because it doesn't look good or it doesn't fit or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I just need to go through it. I'm well aware that it's my closet is bursting and it's mostly striped shirts, let's be real. And I will keep every single one of them and continue to buy them. That is okay.
Yeah. I've got a fun thing on my Q1. Well, okay, it's not really Q1 specifically, but have you ever heard of this thing called the 90-day year or the 12-week year?
No.
It's like a business bro thing, I think.
Is this like National Novel Writing Month or something?
No, or maybe, because it's kind of cringe to say it out loud. But it's essentially this idea that like we can set a goal for ourselves for the next 12 months, but in order to enact it, you need steps leading up to it. And so the idea is that you break it down into like you have your annual your goal of things you want to do all year or by the end of the year. And then you go, okay, in 12 weeks, what progress do I want to have made towards it? Mm-hmm. And then, so you set like a kind of sub goal and then you write down 5 strategies or priorities or steps to take to do that. And so for my like, and like long-term like fitness goal, I don't really have an end point, but like generally fitness and health. And so my priorities that I figured out were like, okay, look into booking a tennis court, like get the equipment that you need, like start reading that like ebook about lifting for like women who are starting from scratch and have never touched a barbell before. Mm-hmm. Like, and so the little steps that it takes to get you there so that it feels like manageable and bite-sized.
Yeah, it's achievable.
Yeah. And so I've got a few that are about like finance and fun stuff, but one, finance and fun stuff.
I know. I was two like, is things. The finance the fun stuff?
So the finance leads into the fun stuff, which is a fucking holiday, which I haven't
had
in so many years.
I love this for you.
Because any excess income I have just goes towards like savings or debt or a buffer for freelance hard times or whatever.
Keeping up Carol's lavish lifestyle.
Truly. She's a diva. But I want to go to Southeast Asia. I've never been. And
amazing.
There's a long list of places I want to go, but starting with Thailand.
Great.
Maybe in a few months. Perfect. So I've got like my 12-week savings goals for that, which feels very soon.
That's really great.
Yeah. And then at the end of the year, this is something that Jinxie and I were having a drink right before we recorded this podcast. And I was like, oh, I'm going to wait to tell you that I did this on the mic. But this morning I got up at 3:55 a.m. I set an alarm so that I could be online when the expressions of interest kind of applications opened to go and see Michael Heiser's City in Nevada.
Oh.
Which was this morning at 4:01 a.m. Melbourne time.
And
apparently you don't find out until March if you get it, but you just like put in your date, like where you're from. So obviously I put in, I'm coming from Australia, and you put in the dates that you have like 5 or 6 options that you can choose from. 'Cause they take 6 people, 3 days a week from like April till November. And so I picked the October and November dates because it's going to be less hot in Nevada in October and November than in the middle of the year. And it also gives me more time to save.
Yeah, cool.
And so if I can, if I get that, I'm going to build a trip around it. I want to go to like Georgia O'Keeffe's house and.
Gorgeous. I've always wanted to do that.
Maybe I'll go to Colorado to that restaurant that Trey Parker and Matt Stone spent $40 million bringing back. Maybe I'll go to Utah and like see the SLC women. Like who knows? Like I kind of want to book like a fucking silly, kooky American holiday and not just do LA and New York.
Yeah, that sounds really ideal.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm trying to build some fun into my life.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll be a little bit in America this year, which I'm excited about.
A little bit America.
A little bit America. But yeah, like working out travel. Like travel is obviously such a massive part of my job, but also like
a great part of your job.
Yeah, and like my partner's job, but also just like what we both like to do the most of like anything.
Yeah.
Like I get very itchy feet and yeah, to keep that up a little bit and just like working out what's reasonable in a year where mortgage prices have gone up so much.
And, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like what I've little heard. Things can we do?
Yeah.
And yeah. I really just want to go back to India.
You really do. You've already put it in the calendar.
It's in the calendar. I got to go back and see my Guruji.
You got to go.
Yeah. I'm thinking quite a bit about what the Guruji told me, actually, when I'm planning my Q1.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. Although he did say that I have bad short-term memory because of the feng shui in my bedroom.
Oh.
But my bedroom is like too small to move things around. Like I can't really move.
Sometimes there are not many options.
No.
Of where the bed can go.
So I'm sorry, but the short-term memory is still just going to be a thing.
Guruji's listening to this and he's so mad.
Like, God, if this is like the first episode of this podcast that people are tuning in, they're like, I thought that these were two chatty gals talking about pop culture and here they are talking about gurus and budgets.
Budgets. I mean, look, if this is your first time listening, it's not always like this, but also it is because spreadsheets are my personality.
But we are going to be talking about what we've watched and a particular film very soon.
Yeah, just a sec. Okay,
just a sec.
There's two more things and they're both connected because they're about reading.
Okay.
So you'll know that when I started doing my spreadsheet 2 years ago, I can't believe it was 2 years ago.
Mm.
One of the things that I really focused on was tracking the days that I picked up a book, because truly months would go by without me reading. And so it really, like, putting myself in competition with myself was the only way that I got any reading done at all. And it is something that I genuinely enjoy, but the tracking of it helps to remind me to put my fucking phone down, and it really makes me feel better. And so I've already finished one book this year.
But don't you have to pick your phone up to track the stuff that you're doing?
But I can do that when I'm done, you know, because otherwise I'll like look something up on my phone and then 2 hours later I'll be like, oh fuck, I was reading.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Tracking
feels like work to me, and like reading is not work. So I don't, well, it can be, but.
So the tracking for me is more like ticking something off a list.
Right.
It's like it's like a checklist on a spreadsheet rather than like, I don't know, data entry or something. And I do like getting the data at the end of the year, because like last year I read 30 books and all in all, I only read for 140 days out of the year, not even half the year. More than half the year, I did not even pick up a book. More than 200 days last year, I didn't pick up a book, but I read 30 books. So yeah. I'm like, oh, imagine if I do a little more, I read for a few more days a month, I could get through all these fucking books behind me that I've bought and not read.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've already finished one this year and I'm like almost done with an audiobook, and it's the 3rd of January. I feel really good about myself.
That's very good.
Yeah.
And isn't it cute how we both approach life so differently?
We're so different, but so similar also at the same time.
Okay. I think next week we'll be talking about one of my favorite movies of the moment, Poor Things, Barbie L.
And one of my favorite TV shows of the moment, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, whose finale episode is airing as we record this right now. So this is a advance warning to catch up.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about spoilers. Go see Poor Things in the cinema and catch up Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You can get it done in a week. If you haven't started, get it done.
Perfect season of reality TV, if you ask me.
But, BL, you watch so many things. You've been watching a lot.
I sure have. And the standout thing that I've watched, Kate, is a little movie called Wonka.
It's just not what I expected of you.
Me neither. Like months ago when we made our, you know, like look behind the curtain, Kate and I look at like release dates for things, the Australian release dates for things, and we like plot what we're going to talk about when on the podcast. And Jinxie had put in like holiday movies, Wonka, etc. And I remember looking at it and being like, I'm not fucking seeing Wonka. I'm a grown woman. Spoiler alert. I went and saw Wonka because it was the only thing on when I had a cleaner in my house and I had to make myself scarce for 2 hours. And guess what? Wonka fucking rocks.
Oh my God, BL. I haven't seen it yet. I have not seen it yet. And I am trying to keep my enthusiasm levels down. Because it does not look very good.
Well, I agree. And like the cringe of the trailer of Timmy being like, come with me, sorry. And then, you know, obviously like Gen Z people are going to see it and like filming the screen because no one can put their fucking phones away for 5 seconds in a cinema. And so I'd seen like the opening shot of him like singing on a boat as it pulls into like the harbor of like the fantastical world where it's set. And I was like, God, this looks terrible. Turns out, it's great. Timmy is, okay, two things that I have said to everyone as a disclaimer.
Uh-huh.
Timmy is really miscast. I think they needed someone more, I'm not just saying this because of the memes of how he looks like Gene Wilder, but someone more like a Jeremy Allen White, who's a little freaky.
Yeah, you need a freak.
Someone who's got kind of like weird eyes or looks like they're maybe a bit jaundiced or like I know Timmy's skinny, but he's still a hunk. And he's an arty hunk. Yeah. And that's not Wonka.
That's not Wonka.
That's not the Willy we know. And so I think as much as he was great and his theater kid really jumped out, I think they needed someone a little kookier.
Mm-hmm.
But he was really, turned in a stellar performance and he did a lot of singing. And I will say, I know some people did not expect Wonka to be a musical. And that's understandable because they didn't market it as such. And the songs are few and far between to the point where at one point there's like a giraffe, there's a scene with a giraffe and a song starts, someone starts singing. And I literally was like, oh fuck, I forgot it's a musical. So the songs aren't like overpowering in that way. But they're unfortunately not iconic.
Mm.
So you're not getting Charlie and the Chocolate Factory level of like iconic songs.
You're not getting I Want It Now.
You're not getting I Want It Now. There are not enough divas in this movie.
Mm.
But you are getting Sally Hawkins.
Okay.
And you are getting
Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman saying the word Ibiza and saying she's gonna go get her lips done. I mean, I was cackling. I was on my own in the theater and there was a family of five behind me and that was it. And I was having a great time.
All right. Okay. I'll see Wonka for you.
Sorry if I just yelled into your earphones. Yeah. Like I gave it 5 stars. I said to my friend yesterday.
5 stars. You just said that the songs were bad.
Kate, it's such a good movie. I cried. There's
you
a bit of
something 5 stars. If you think an element is that bad. It's and a musical.
I didn't say they were bad. I said they weren't iconic in that they're not memorable.
All right. I stand corrected.
Rewind. I might have said they were bad. I very well could have said they were bad. But I thought it was a great movie. It felt like a Christmas movie because it was like cold and chocolate is Christmas. Chocolate is Christmas. Hugh Grant. Like I have friends who are very tickled by Hugh Grant's performance. I wasn't one of them. I was like, sure, he's an Oompa Loompa. Okay. I'm waiting for Paddington 3 because it's like the Paddington guy who made this movie. And it felt very Paddington.
Oh, I like Paddington.
Kids movie that adults will also really enjoy and not be furious that it's being played on repeat.
All right.
What more could you freaking want from a Wonka?
Not Timothy Chalamet as Wonka.
Fair. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I feel like Gene Wilder's dead, isn't he? I was about to say, I feel like Gene Wilder should have had a cameo.
Is Gene Wilder dead?
Didn't he die a few years ago?
Oh.
Can you check? We'll keep this in. I'm pretty sure. Didn't he?
I don't know. God, I
because if like he's alive, he should have been in it. But if he died, it's okay that he's not.
Mm.
Kate's Googling.
I'm Googling. Oh, he died in 2016.
That was a year that a lot of people died, wasn't it?
Oh,
Bowie, Prince.
Oh, God, was it that long ago?
Yeah.
R.I.P. to a queen.
R.I.P. to a freaky icon.
Oh, I know.
His
relationship with Gilda Radner, just one of the most iconic things to have ever happened.
Stop, I'm going to cry again. Just like I did in Wonka.
BL.
But yeah, it's a great movie. Okay. I really can't wait for you to see it. And I really hope you don't hate it. But if you do, that's all right.
That's okay.
I'm still going to love it.
Yeah, you can.
I'm Wonka-pilled. It was better than Barbie, I'll tell you what. I rewatched Barbie again. I thought, I'm going to give this another chance. Worse the second time.
Okay. Do you know what? A film that I actually wasn't even like giving it a second chance because I really liked it the first time I saw it.
Mm.
But rewatched it on New Year's Day and I'm very upset with myself that I didn't include it in my top 10. It was only an honorable mention, but God, Asteroid City was really great.
Yeah, we did both mention it in passing, didn't we?
Yeah, like it was just, I was really moved by it, but like more this time, because I think the first time I was just trying to work out the meta.
Yes.
Machinations of the entire thing. Like, is this the show? Is this a TV show? Is this the theater?
Yeah.
And so I got to kind of leave that all behind a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's just like, I don't know, there's grief and sorrow and ambition and beautiful performances. I think it's like, it's so sad that it's one of those, that, you know, the way that we talk about Wes Anderson films now is just like, like, oh, it's like AI could do it, whatever. And
yeah, he really is like a victim of his own success in a way, right? Like that his style is so inherently his own that it's almost working against him in people's like perceptions of his work now.
Truly. But like you watch it and you're like looking at how he does the tracking shots and how he does all these different sort of compositions. And they are really difficult. Like it's a really difficult film to make.
Yeah.
Like Asteroid City. There are so many moving parts.
Well, the production design and the performances on top of all that.
Yeah. Anyway, if you didn't get around to seeing it, highly recommend.
Is it streaming?
Yes, I think you have to pay on Disney Plus or something. But my girlfriend and I, well, she really has this list that started a few years ago of like films that she's like, I've said like, oh, you should see this. Like I've already seen. Mm-hmm. And so we have this like very like long running list and we've decided to like actually tackle it.
I love that.
And so just before New Year's, we watched What's Up, Doc, Barbara Streisand. I'd never seen it before.
I've never seen either.
You must.
Okay.
A perfect slapstick comedy.
Okay.
And on New Year's Day, we watched Asteroid City, Theatre Camp, because she hadn't seen it, and a film that I had never actually seen, and neither had she, Signs.
I've never seen Signs either.
So it's like, yeah, I'll give this
a shot. I heard someone talking about Signs recently. What were they talking about? It was in relation to a new movie that I really liked. I forget.
Well, it wasn't great. Actually.
Huh.
The dialogue is...
Your friend M. Night made a not a great movie.
Well, this cast is... It's fucking stacked. It's like
Mel Gibson, right?
Yeah, Mel Gibson. Joaquin Phoenix, Abigail Breslin, the other Culkin, Rory Culkin. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, the one that is not quite as good as the brothers.
Have we talked about on the pod how Abigail Breslin's brother was Grace Tame's first husband?
Whoa, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are you for real?
Spencer Breslin of Cat in the Hat fame.
It was Grace Tame's husband.
She got married at like 19 or 20 when she was living in LA to Spencer Breslin.
What? I did not know that.
Australian of the Year, in case international listeners are like, who's Grace Tame?
Wow.
Australian of the Year, like a victims' rights advocate.
Yeah.
Icon of Australia. Was married to Spencer Breslin when she was like 19 years old.
That is so weird and I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking into Rory Culkin going like, what happened to that one? And
he was in Scream.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was maybe in a relationship. It seems a bit unclear on the internet with Val Kilmer's son a few decades ago.
Wait, what? We got a gay Culkin?
Well, they were bi Culkin.
Okay.
He was in the queer Culkin. He was in a movie with... I'm sorry, Val Kilmer's son, I don't know your name.
Yeah.
Sean Kilmer. And yeah, they were in a film together, but on like Rory's Wikipedia, it's listed as like a relationship.
Wow.
And then he got married to a cinematographer, female cinematographer, and then left her for another female cinematographer.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's got a type.
And people say there are no women working behind the scenes. Rory Culkin's married two of them.
Exactly. But yeah, but aside from them in Signs, Merritt Weaver is in it, super young.
My queen, Merritt.
Well, as soon as she appeared on the screen, I was like, oh, it's I couldn't remember her name.
But we have to do a poodle on the hairy bird some point this year. I'm saying it now.
Absolutely. And Cherry Jones.
Okay, I'm watching Signs tonight after Salt Lake City.
You should. And look, the dialogue's wow bad.
I mean.
Wow bad.
Yeah, okay.
But it was fun. Like, it was fun. It was
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Huh. What about TV?
I haven't been watching a whole lot of TV. I'm a bit behind on The Curse.
See, that's great.
And I know you're going to do a full binge of The Curse once it's all finished. It's a real kooky show, but I've been enjoying it and watching Emma Stone in that. And also I know we'll get to Poor Things next week. Maybe we'll talk The Curse later on. So I won't mention it too much now. The Crown is kind of the big thing that I've watched. Mm-hmm. They dropped the first four episodes that were like the DeBicki episodes, like leading up to Diana's death and her funeral before Christmas.
DeBicki sounds like such a bad rap name.
DeBicki. Darbicki.
Darbicki.
The real Australian one. That's her rap name. DeBicki. The Biscuit. She is phenom, obviously, as Di. But I found myself, I had this really weird response to watching those first four episodes where The Crown made me feel really like, I don't know, not complicit. Complicit's not the right word, but like fucking icky, because I was essentially just watching these four episodes being like waiting for her to die, waiting to watch her die. And it made me feel really fucked up. And it kind of rattled me a little bit. I don't want to sound like too precious or sensitive, but I was like, that was such a like world changing kind of shocking moment. And we've just spent all this time with two different actors portraying this real person whose death is still affecting the people, like her children. Mm. And just watching it play out like that. And it felt very tabloidy, I think, in the way that they handled it. And it also felt kind of true crimey, like, and now they're in this, you know, they filmed Dodie and Di and the driver in this like back alley or the back corridor before they get into the car that ultimately takes them to their deaths. And it's like, oh, they've shot this like the CCTV footage that everyone's really familiar with, because it was like the final moments that they were seen. And so like, I just felt really kind of icked by it. And then after she died, they kind of bring her back as a ghost. And so, so then it's kind of The Crown having their kind of narrative flourish, dramatic flourishes of being like, you know, Diana speaking to people from the dead. And I felt really, it wasn't great.
That doesn't sound like I dropped off a little while ago, but that does not sound like The Crown that I used to watch.
Yeah. It's almost like they had to go from like the established facts to like the emotion of it or something. And they kind of continue that with the final episodes where they bring Claire Foy and Olivia Colman back as the past versions of Queen Elizabeth, who's in the final seasons played by Imelda Staunton. And I think it was supposed to be this like really big emotional like weight dropping or something, and it just didn't do it for me. I think I almost feel like it overstayed its welcome a little bit by the end.
Yeah. Just watch Spencer.
Truly. Yeah. I didn't, after the Diana episodes left me with that feeling, I was like, I'm not going to watch the end of this. I don't really need to.
Oh, wow. So it really icked you that much.
But then I did. Because after I got home from Christmas and I had a few days hungover on the couch, I was like, all right, what else am I going to watch for 6 hours?
You are nothing if not a completist.
I truly am. I finished The Mindy Project, for God's sakes. The worst TV.
Did anybody else?
Series of all time. But I was kind of waiting for it to be over. And I think that because the death of Queen Elizabeth and the coronation of her foul son happened so recently in our memory, that it kind of took the wind out of the show a little bit, maybe. Yeah. Like, The show finishes in 2005 with Charles and Camilla's wedding. And it's like William's met Kate and Harry's worn the swastika to the party and da 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 da. And so this big final plot move in the final episode is the Queen giving her blessing for Charles to marry Camilla. Dominic West is really great as Charles, but way too handsome. And then she's written this speech that she's going to give at their wedding, and she won't tell anyone what's in the speech. No one's seen the speech. And so she's written this speech handing over, stepping down and handing over to Charles, because she thinks that the monarchy has come to be represented by like decrepit old people. Mm-hmm. And by the time she dies, Charles will be a decrepit old person, yeah. Which is what has happened. And so then there's like the ghosts of Claire Foy and Olivia Colman coming to like give her their two cents, like the kind of angel and devil on her shoulder of her past selves.
Oh, I don't need this.
And the final shot is just her walking out of, I think it's Westminster Abbey or like a giant church, but it takes like 6 minutes or something. I was like, I don't care anymore, babe. This was 18 years ago. Is that 18 years ago? 18 years ago. And like, we know you didn't do it.
Yeah.
So like end of series, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, I was like, I could watch the Josh O'Connor, Emma Corrin and the Debicki years. And
Debicki.
Debicki. Can't wait to see Debicki in concert supporting the Kid Leroy.
Well, I unfortunately also completed a show that wasn't great. Mm. I unfortunately watched all of Squid Game The Challenge. I shouldn't have. I got addicted to it.
How many episodes?
I couldn't tell you, but too many.
Okay.
And it's like, it's awful to have a dystopian game show drama turn into an actual game show.
A fictional one turned documentary.
But people really were competing for $4.5 million.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And the production design is very high.
Okay.
But then also, like, when a player is eliminated, as they say, like, a squib goes off under their uniform, and so it looks like they've been shot.
No.
Yeah, they've, like, I watched the making of as well, and it was, like, talking about what color they would use. So it's like black, like squid ink. Anyway, so it's not like.
Okay, so they pussied out of making it blood.
Pretty much, but then like the players all kind of drop dramatically to the floor as if they've actually been.
Okay, so I never watched Squid Game, but it's they're killed, right? When they get eliminated.
Yeah, they're actually killed on the drama show. And it's like a very much people who are just so desperate for this money that would risk their lives for it. And you get to know the characters and why they are competing for it. And in this show, it's like the same, but they're not risking their lives. Mm. And there are some really good characters that you follow, but also so much of it is so random. So like as soon as you get attached to someone, they're out. Mm. So it just was not a satisfying watch. It was just absolutely like, it was real fluff. And I'm like, oh, I could get that time back.
Did you like the person who won?
I won't say.
Is that a no?
In case someone is watching it. No, because I think it would be kind of obvious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't want to ruin someone's viewing if you're enjoying it.
Is Squid Game kind of like Hunger Games where there are like real stakes and...
Yeah, but it's like less fantasy in that way.
Sure.
It's Squid Game, like the Korean drama, is actually a really good show. It's so well made. That's really well scripted. The lead actor is fantastic. Like, highly recommend watching it.
Yeah.
But don't waste your time on this one.
Yeah, okay.
And there are so many pieces of, like, this is actually great TV. And it's like, it kind of, the first two episodes, they are. And then it just kind of eats away its soul a little bit.
Yeah.
I also watched Leave the World Behind, which I was very excited to see. Needed to see our
boy. I hyped it up a lot.
Yeah, I need to see our boy Ethan in his bikini kill tea. Yes. But I thought it was fun, but it just wasn't a patch on the book.
Mm.
I felt like it had no air in it. Like the book was so open to trauma and disaster and like what was actually happening, whereas they tried to make it a bit too neat in their film version. I felt like maybe the Obama production notes coming in made it a bit more like political or governmental.
Yeah. It was much more like the film was much more specific about it having been a cyber incident.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated in the book how there was like technology was freaking out, but so was nature.
Yes.
And like nature was freaking out in the show, but when you explain that away as being a cyber incident and all the Teslas and stuff, I was like, that. Why did the deer and flamingo care about your big cyber incident?
Yeah, like sounds? I don't know. But yeah, look, I wouldn't say don't watch it. Like I think it was it was a fun watch for sure. But like if you haven't read the book, read the book. And I know you loved the book.
I loved the book. And I told someone, I think yesterday, who was asking me like, do I need to read the book before I watch the movie? And I was like, if you're going to do both, do it in that order. But you could do either one and be satisfied, I think, because I really liked the movie and I found it kind of a separate thing to the book, I think, because obviously the book is told from the first person and so there's like that interiority that you just are never going to get with a film that doesn't have like cringe voiceover exposition. Mm. But I think the changes that they made, like making Mahershala Ali's character younger, giving him kind of like a 20-something daughter instead of an older wife. And so that dynamic there and her being kind of like bottle rocket about to go off at any point and really testing them. I just thought that was really sick. And like, I loved the final scene with the daughter. I thought was just like one of my favorite things I've seen.
Yeah.
But it was also really satisfying in the book as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love the book so much, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great read. A good like day and a half, 2 day holiday read too.
Have you watched Naiad yet?
Is Naiad out?
It's streaming. It's like a Netflix film.
Oh my God. Signs, Naiad and Salt Lake City tonight.
Oh my God. Yeah. Let's talk about Naiad maybe next week.
So many things came out over the holidays. Book Club 2. Mafia Mama, 80 for Brady.
I've seen
so many things.
I have seen, what was the first one? Signs?
Book Club 2.
No, Book Club 2. Oh, I've seen that. I've seen Mafia Mama.
I didn't know you'd saw Mafia Mama.
Oh, I watched half of it on a plane.
Okay.
I couldn't finish it. You don't need to.
Yeah, okay.
Book Club 2, though.
Yeah.
It's a great time.
Yeah.
Kuchina. It's a great time.
Yeah.
Kuchina. Naiad, Annette Bening and Jodie Foster playing like older athletic lesbians and who aren't even together. They're just best friends. Oh my God.
Wait, what? Okay. Is this on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
All right. Well, that's me done.
Yeah. It's not that well directed, but it's a great performances.
Okay. I mean, you didn't have to sell me. I'm excited for Naiad. 80 for Naiad was the
Oh yeah, don't watch 80 for Brady. Even for the Guy Fieri cameo.
I didn't know Guy Jigsy, you just sold it to me, unfortunately. Oh my God, time for also-alsos. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Okay, so my incredibly festive cocktail from New Year's, but it would have worked really well at the holiday cocktail party I had, is the Cherry 75. It's like a cherry take on a French 75, which is gin, lemon juice, simple syrup. Mm-hmm. And so this is gin, lemon juice, a generous splash of maraschino cherry syrup, like from the jar, topped off with champagne, and a maraschino cherry served in a coupe glass.
Ooh.
It's like slightly pink. Ooh, it's a lovely looking drink.
Oh, love her.
I am on the lookout for some, like a jar of sour cherries, if you see any on your travels, because I'd like to try a slightly more sour version. Mm-hmm. But the lemon actually balances out that sweetness of the maraschino syrup anyway. But
I can imagine.
It looks gorgeous, tastes lovely. It's quite 60s, quite retro.
I can picture her.
Mm.
Love her. My first recommendation is for Hillvale, and this is like 10 years worth of recommendations all in one, because I've been getting my film developed there pretty much since they opened. If you're not aware, Hillvale is an independent photo lab here in Melbourne created by photographers, specifically Andy Johnson and Jason Hamilton, the friends behind it, friends of mine, for photographers. Get all your holiday film developed, all your shutterbug tendencies throughout the year. And it's not just like my very amateur 35mm stuff that they do. They specialize in like scanning all kinds of formats, 120, like medium format slides, black and white, C41, other numbers and letters that I don't know what they mean. They have a lab in Brunswick, and they have they kind of created this Dropbox system for film developing, so you can basically drop your film off to be developed at places all over Melbourne, and there are some interstate as well. You can post your roles to them online. They have a form that you can download and print off and fill out. But yeah, if you go to Brunswick to their lab, they've got a vending machine of like disposable cameras and film rolls that you can get as well when they're not open. And they just opened a Dropbox to drop your film off at Peter Monty's, shout out. But yeah, I love them. I love Hillvale, and it's really handy to like get your little invoice sent to your email, you pay it, and you know as soon as you pay it, you're going to get a Dropbox link with all your scans.
Oh, so good.
Such a good system, and they're so sweet.
That's one thing that's my Q1 to Q4 is more photos not on my phone.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very good tip. I'll take it. My next one is a newsletter that you can subscribe to. It's free. It's by Katie Merchant. It's called Thank You OK. I've had like a parasocial relationship with this chick since like the early 2010s. She had a blog of the same name while she was living in Korea. She's Canadian. And then she moved over to Instagram, where I've followed her. Many of our listeners would be following her on Instagram. She has impeccable style, and she always posts about really great films. And yeah, she revamped her newsletter very recently on Substack, and it's got like things like little delicacies that she's cooking. Mm. She's always baking. I think you'd appreciate that. Like very nice knitwear, good film stills, okay. Favorite flowers. She's a real romantic. I'm here for that.
Very you.
So it's thankyouok.substack.com.
Love. I have a recommendation for my current favorite weekly podcast. Sad it's only weekly. Now I know how our listeners feel. It's the Daddy Diaries podcast. Andy Cohen's. It's like a little recap of his Sirius XM radio show. So you might remember a little while ago, I recommended Andy's audio book, The Daddy Diaries, which not only is him being like a celebrity gay dad in New York and like all of the visits to the Brodericks and SJ household that come with that, getting stoned and having dinner with Amy Sedaris, etc. Like it's a joy, behind the scenes housewives, goss, etc. But he does a radio show with his close friend and ex, John Hill, and they're now releasing it on this feed as a weekly podcast. And so you get to hear stuff like what happened when he took his son Ben to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and Ben freaked out in front of Cher. And like when Madonna called Andy a troublemaking queen on stage at Madison Square Garden recently, you get to hear his whole side of that interaction, what he actually heard from the crowd and what he didn't. And so it's just like a treat every time there's like a little blue dot next to it on Spotify. I get a thrill.
That sounds quite fun.
It's really fun.
Where does he find the time?
Listening to his diaries, you're really like, oh, this is a man whose day used to start at midday and go into like he has friends dropping over for a nightcap well into the night every night. And then the transition when he had Ben and now baby Lucy to having to be up early in the morning, pre-taping a whole lot of Watch What Happens so that he's not like out late drinking every night. Like it's a real glimpse into like how he makes it work.
I'm intrigued.
How does he do it?
Surely he can't have it all. My last one is just for our New York City listeners. Pan Pan is a theater company from Ireland, and their show, The First Bad Man, a book club based on the novel by Miranda July, that's the full title, is part of Under the Radar Festival at Lincoln Center. I've been following it for a little while, this new work. They were devising it in London recently, and it started during the pandemic. Anyway, I haven't seen it, so I'll give you a little glimpse of what they've said about it. Mm-hmm. It's, if you haven't read it, don't worry. The real story is the club itself, more than just a staging of scenes from the book or a literary dissection. The First Bad Man is an immersive, comedic, and occasionally combative exploration of the intersections between the play's characters and its inspirations. So The First Bad Man is one of my favorite novels of the last couple of years. I mean, I can't remember how long it came out now. Mm. I'm excited about her new book this year. But the reason I'm actually really excited about it is that it was co-created by and stars friend of the show, Mish Grigor, who is one of the most brilliant performers and one of my very favourite people in the world to talk to about art and ideas. And so I just know that this would be brilliant. It starts Friday, 5th of Jan, runs till Sunday, 13th of Jan. So a small window in New York, but yeah, it's on at the Lincoln Center.
Oh my God. Shout out Mish. That sounds amazing. My last one is also a newsletter, Jinxie, this time by journalist Anne Friedman, who I have also been following for many, many years online. She taught me how to be an editor and a freelancer long before we ever met and became friends. And Anne is kind of like the OG journalist to newsletter content creator. You might know her from hosting the podcast Call Your Girlfriend. And she co-wrote with Aminatou Sow. They co-wrote the book Big Friendship together, and they stopped doing the podcast a year or two ago. But Anne has kept up with her weekly newsletter, but she is now sending out pre-written serialized kind of chapters, I guess, of this very long piece about parenting and being a parent, because she is on maternity leave. She's pregnant and having a baby. And so each time her newsletter arrives in your inbox, it has, the latest installment in this very long essay. And she's written a lot about like abortion rights and like women's rights and feminism and politics and all of these things for many years. And so I think applying that to the first person is like really interesting ground for like a journalist to cover. So the link that I'm going to put in the show notes of all the also-alsos from this week, this one goes to the page where you can sign up, but there's also an archive page there. So you can go back and read the first few installments of this series that she's sending out every week. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. If you're not following us on Instagram yet, I don't know what you're doing. It's See Also Podcast. And there's a link there to sign up to the Patreon if you're not yet a member of the Hog Hive. It's not that expensive, and there's a bunch of bonus episodes already waiting there, including an ad-free version of this episode.
And just another little reminder about our very exciting live event, See Also Alfresco, which is on sale now. It's happening at the Malthouse Outdoor Stage on Saturday, 3rd of February. It's coming up. Make that your Q1 goal.
Truly.
Then you can tick it off by the 4th of February. So you're done. It's great. So we do have a code for listeners to get a little discount. It's See Also Alfresco. A reminder that our guests are Courtney Barnett and Stella Mozgawa. It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be really chic.
And as ever, thanks so much to Samuel Hodge for the imagery and Harvey Sutherland for our original theme music.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.